Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithtimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and today I am answering a reader question. They came from someone who is, I guess, technically a reader or a listener, but also we just were having this conversation. So I think this will be of interest to a lot of people, but specifically from single folks and my folks who want to be single, who are enjoying singleness, who need to be single, who have a whatever motivation to stay out of a relationship. So today we are talking about friends with benefits. So what prompted the conversation is that a friend of mine asked, how do we do this? Like, how do we actually do the friends with benefits thing? And you know, Justin Timberlake movies are not super helpful because the idea is that ultimately, you know, you're going to end up falling in love or whatever. And that it has been for many people in their experience an impossibility, that being friends with benefits always ends in tragedy, that you end up never speaking to each other and you are neither friends nor other benefits anymore. It's bad. So let's talk about the entirely different skill set that's required to do this type of relationship. Because most of the messaging that we get and most of the education and helpful training that we get about relationships is about fostering usually monogamous and sometimes poly relationships that are intended to be sustained for a long time. And we get pretty good advice sometimes about how to openly communicate and maintain the passion long term and to do those sort of things, how to negotiate our differing interests and our differing time commitments and those sort of things in mostly monogamous situations, but there's an emerging voice for poly and open relationships to be sustainable. But how do you do friends with benefits? It's an entirely different animal. Let's start by doing operational definitions so we all know what we're talking about. Friends with benefits, this idea is, it's a hookup situation that is, it's somewhere between casual sex, because it doesn't have specific strings attached. Friends with benefits usually doesn't imply that you have obligations, that you usually don't have to be socially out about the fact that you are having sex with this person. But it does have a connotation that you have a continued outside relationship, that you are friendly with this person. This is someone that you come in contact with for reasons other than hooking up. So it's a distinct animals separate from, let's say, like having a fuck buddy who's like your secret, like a mistress, or I guess there's not, you know, this is a side note. There's not a male version of mistress. I mean, there's master, but that implies something very different, which is a whole other conversation. But this friends with benefits is separate from having somebody who you only hang out with for sex and literally have no other feelings for. And it is separate from casually dating. Casually dating has the expectation that it could change. Theoretically, would be ideal, would be good, it would be beneficial if it did change into a different form. The casually dating leads to more seriously dating once you decide that you're into someone or you start weeding out whoever you're not into. Friends with benefits implies that you like each other and that you hang out and do stuff other than have sex, although you definitely do the having the sex, but you're not trying to be monogamous and you're not trying to do other relationshipy things. Like, what distinctly separates like what you would take a girlfriend boyfriend to do versus your buddies. So they're probably not going to have to go to family things. They're probably not going to have to help you with stuff around the house. They might help when you move, because really whoever helps you move is your friend. That's true. That's how you find out who your friends are. But this is a distinct category. And how do we maintain this? Immediately after I was asked, you know, how do you do this friends with benefits thing, I actually had more questions than answers. And I wanted to know so what has gone wrong previously? If the expectation is, you know, that like there's a right way to do this and I clearly haven't been doing it, what has gone wrong so far? So there's a variety of answers that I got in terms of how friends with benefits didn't work out. And the number one is that people said they were interested in a friends with benefits situation and either didn't really know what that entailed, or they thought they were game for it and they really weren't. Or somebody agreeing to do a friends with benefits situation because that is the only way they think they're going to get access to a specific person. So like, for instance, say I'm crushing real hard on you and you are either, you know, just freshly out of a relationship or just sort of on the fence about relationships or on the fence about me or whatever. And so you're like, I'm not looking for a relationship. And you come out quite honestly and say that this is not a thing that I could do right now. I can't promise you a whole lot. I mean, we're friends. We could hook up sometimes, you know, but that would be literally it. And I might say, oh, yeah, I'm totally cool with that. And in reality, I'm taking whatever I can get. I'm agreeing to it because a small amount of access to you is better than none in my head. And in many cases, we think we're going to be okay with stuff because we want to project an idea of ourselves as being more chill about stuff than we really are. We're going to be cooler with a wider variety of things than we really are, that we don't have the needs that we really do. So the very first and foremost thing I would recommend before talking about any of this friends with benefits stuff is like a searching inventory of what you're actually looking for. We've talked about this on the show before, about really identifying what your goal is. And for some folks, you know, it's, you know, I'm lonely and I want to have sex, but I don't really want to have a relationship. That's not the same thing as being emotionally prepared to do a friends with benefits situation. Because if really you are just dating and it's not going well, you might start to feel like you can't handle all that responsibility, or that you're not looking to just keep putting yourself out there and having it go poorly. And so a friends with benefits situation sounds like an appealing alternative to dating, but in reality, you just haven't met a person and you're specifically looking for a person to fill a specific role. This may not be the solution. So that is to say, if you are considering a friends with benefits situation, actively and bravely search your own feelings for, am I looking for a situation that provides sex from a person who I am a fan of and I like being around, but I literally don't want to have any other attachment other than that, that like, I like them. We can see each other in other contexts without it being awkward, because that's another big piece. It's very possible to have sex with someone and compartmentalize them over into that distinct category without being completely awkward around them is a different thing. So being able to be socially friends and also fucking, and that not be weird on either side. So that's what you have to be able to do. And some folks are not built for that. Some folks are built strictly monogamy. Some folks are definitely built for poly. Some folks are not built for relationships. You can build the skills for all of those things. You can work on all of these things and get better for it. Friends with benefits is a more nuanced thing. And so not everybody can necessarily handle it. What are the specific skills that would be useful in a friends with benefits situation? Like with any relationship, you have to be completely honest. Not only do you have to know what you want, but you have to be able to articulate that in a way that makes sense to someone else. It has to be clear to them. It's not enough that you said up front and you felt like you were clear. You have to get confirmation that they understood what you're saying. Because that is a real big problem in these casual dating situations in general, that people think that they were pretty clear, that you're just playing around, that you're dating other people. But if you didn't use the language that makes sense to them, you didn't really tell them. You'd said the bare minimum thing that you thought would get you by. There's a lot of situations where hurt feelings happen that are completely unnecessary because somebody thought that something should be known, assumed that everybody was on the same page, or like, you know who you are, you know you're my side thing, blah, 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 blah. If you're not completely clear in language that they get, that is just as effective as lying about what your intention is. For all intents and purposes, it's the same, whether you liked it or not. So being very, very clear that these are your boundaries, this is what you're looking for. And if you have specifics, like I need somebody to hook up with specifically on weekends. I don't have any time during the week, but I have weekends. They're great for me. They're super free. And I, you know, I'm going to need to see you this often. You know, that sort of thing. It's important to say what you want to get as much as what you can't give. Those are both really big pieces of the friends with benefits thing, is being really clear on the boundaries, both in terms of what you want and also what resources you have available to give them, so that everybody is on board, that we're consenting to the same thing. Because it's not just the sexual acts, you're consenting to a larger structure of how you're going to now interact with that person. And this can be like a thing that you sort of work out. Like, eventually you start to figure out, how often are you going to text each other? What's a reasonable amount for us to expect to see each other? Dr. Zhanna Vrangelova, who is an expert in casual sex, has a lot of advice in terms of not seeing each other super often. Because part of what happens with the catching feelings is just entirely the chemical response of being around someone, that you're going to get addicted to their stimulus because you see them, you hook up. That's a reinforcing circle of positive reaction. Your brain gets flooded with the chemicals of the excitement of sexual activity and orgasm. And then you get used to seeing them, and then you want to have that stimulus more often so that you can get that positive response. But that's exactly how you get addicted to a stimulus. And it doesn't mean that you're necessarily meant to be with that person. It means that you like getting off and you like that person, which is what friends with benefits is. You should be getting that feedback. But if you see each other too often, that's when it's going to start getting complicated. Dr. Zhanna Vrangelova also has other advice in terms of self-maintenance and making sure that you don't accidentally get pulled into a situation where it seems like you're in love or actually do fall in love or whatever, if that's not what you're looking for. Another thing she advised is just to have lots of your own things. To have hobbies, interests, to be busy. To have lots of things that hold your interest, that excite you and will actually keep your mind off of ruminating over a single person. If you have a real big hole in your life, some aspect that needs to be filled. You used to be in a relationship that was very serious and you just got out of it, or you just had a major loss in your career or family or whatever. Not a good time to get into one of these situations, because it'll start projecting all of those feelings, all of those needs will start getting squished over into it. They'll be categorized as the same sort of feeling, because to your brain, it's all the same. Whether it's chocolate, exercise, heroin, or sex, it's about satiating these needs of getting this stimulus. So if you have like a really big issue at the moment, or you don't have enough just to occupy you that you're interested, you're going to start compartmentalizing this friend with benefits in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. And you're going to start thinking that you're more serious about them than you would be if you had hobbies. So it's important to keep busy so you're not just like ruminating on this person and thinking about how great they are all the time, simply because it will ruin the dynamic. If you're looking for a relationship, you are actively seeking some sort of situation where you have that kind of feeling about someone, great, whatever. Be realistic about, you know, how much is energy taken from one other place and being put onto it, and whether or not that's sustainable, if you'll eventually get over that need and then the relationship will fall apart. I mean, that's a totally different question. But for friends with benefits, it's not necessarily a good time to get into one of those when you are dealing with major life questions and loss. In terms of care and feeding for your friends with benefits relationship, you want to see each other. This is going to depend on your schedule and your interest in each other. You want to see each other on a scale that makes sense for both of you. So make sure you're checking in on having the same idea about that. Somebody might be like, you know, we'll check out each other quarterly. I don't know. I'm in your city every few months or whatever. We'll hang out when I'm in town. Or if it's going to be like, you know, I want to hook up with you, you know, probably once a week or whatever. And just being clear on making that work and making sure that you're both okay with that amount. Because if quarterly is what one person wants and weekly is what the other person wants, that is pretty similar to somebody wanting to be in a relationship and somebody not wanting to. So making sure that both people are okay with the amount. If there becomes a situation where somebody is not having their needs met, that's a really good time to really be honest about that. Because just because you have a friends with benefits situation doesn't mean that you're using each other. It doesn't mean that you don't care about each other. For the time that you're together, absolutely 100% be invested in that moment. Be present. Love that person with all that you have in the time in which you are together. That is the whole fucking point of sex, is that you are in this moment, experience it together. When you are apart, you are going to be apart. And that's what makes you friends with benefits as opposed to a serious committed relationship. However, what makes this more complicated is that you're probably also going to see each other in other times. So just remember to continue to be nice to that person and continue to give them the same sort of affirmation and love that you would if you were just regular friends. So you're still going to have to maintain that in a nuanced way, because again, we don't have a lot of models for how to do this. And so you're going to have to figure out, what does that person want? What can you actually provide? And this will require you to be brave and honest about your own needs. And if you're starting to feel jealous, or you're starting to feel that you are neglected, to be honest about that. Not to make that, as always, we want to use active listening techniques and not say, you're making me feel this way, but that right now I feel a little bit lonely and neglected because I haven't seen you in like 3 or 4 weeks. I texted you and you haven't texted back. It's been a few days. And that makes me feel like unimportant. And I'm not trying to tie you down, and I'm not saying you can't sleep with other people, but I just want to know, like, basic respect stuff is going to be covered. So just being brave enough to be honest about when your needs are not being met, and having a conversation that's mutually negotiated about what you can reasonably expect from each other. In a friends with benefits situation, it's completely reasonable to expect that someone will still be a basic good friend to you. It shouldn't diminish any of the stuff that you already had before. And in fact, should theoretically make you better friends. It doesn't mean you have to hang out more, but you have shared experience and vulnerability that should build a degree of intimacy. So theoretically, this should make you better buddies, not more awkward around each other. So if it's making you feel more awkward, you're not doing it right. You need to be more honest. The other facet that I was asked about in terms of friends with benefits is, how do you make this happen? Because to some people, this sounds like a great idea, but they don't even know where to start. And there's two different ways it can go down. You can either approach a person who is basically a stranger and you don't already know, you're not really already friends, but you're going to become friends basically through this and hook up, which is actually much easier because you risk rejection if you bring this up and they're not into it, but you don't risk an existing relationship. It's a lot easier to ask a stranger to do a weird thing when it comes to this sort of thing. So with that, just being totally honest about what you're looking for and, you know, checking that they're okay with that. And you are going to be continuously negotiating back and forth as you go forward. Because with a stranger, your feelings are likely going to change over the course of this experience because you don't even know them. And of course, you can do that just, you know, you meet somebody in a random place, a bar, whatever. Maybe you met them online, Grindr, Tinder, you know, that sort of thing. Adult friend finder is literally, that's what it's theoretically for. So that's a way that you can go about finding a complete stranger to do it. There's risks with that because you don't know them, and so it's unclear if you can trust them. And that includes trusting them on things like sexual health. So it might be a good idea if you're planning on having a continuous sexual relationship with this person to do some sort of STI screening together. Maybe you do a My Lab test. It'll be very romantic. That's certainly an option. The other choice is to approach someone who is an existing contact, who is one of your friends especially, and to be like, look, I'm into you as a friend, and I also find you attractive, and I don't have the time or the resources or whatever to commit to a real relationship right now, but I think that we could have a lot of fun. I think that this would be something we could both handle because we're adults and we have a lot of mutual respect. So you have to put yourself out there in the same way that you would approaching someone for dating in general, but because it's a less conventional thing to ask, you're putting yourself at additional risk. And that's just true, because they might not only say no, but they might actually change the way they think about you after that, because you try to change the way that they think about you by switching it into a different genre of relationship. And that's where we find out if we're adults, because you're going to find out if you are actually capable of being friends with someone who sleeps with you or rejects you and not making it weird for them, and also just not being sad about it, And to find out if they also can pull that off, if they can manage to still be adults just because, you know, you ask them this doesn't mean that it has to ruin everything forever. Can you both just exist as human beings? Somebody took a venture at a possibility and the other one wasn't into it. So that's when we just have to be adults about these things. We have to be honest and we have to deal with the risk of rejection and we have to deal with the possibility of saying no to someone in a way that everybody will be okay. As for the actual sex, as I mentioned, it's going to be up to you. How often you see each other, what you plan on doing together, that sort of thing. As always, be bravely honest about what you actually want. Be bravely honest about any feelings that you might have of anxiety or nerves or sadness. Be completely honest. And be willing to listen and talk back and forth and have this mutual discussion about what's good for them. Don't lose your own interests and needs in theirs and vice versa. Be respectful of someone in all of the basic ways that you would be of any lover. So it's a totally doable situation. It's a very specific situation. But every relationship is a very specific situation because it's just the individuals who are involved and they create the dynamic and no two relationships are the same. So you're going to do the thing that makes the most sense for you and what you're going to get the most out of. So I would like to thank the people who asked me this. This was an interesting conversation that it provoked that we had over fajitas. It was great. So props to them. And if you have questions, you can email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com, facebook.com/sexwithtimory. You can send a private message. You can direct message me on Twitter, like whatever, like we'll figure it out. So hit me up or give me your feedback on all this kind of stuff, your own advice based on your experience or what you've seen. And thank you for listening. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.